Wolves Cast, audio on demand.
Welcome into another episode of Wolves Cast Audio on Demand. John Folkey alongside Cal Soderquist here on the Timberwolves Radio Network. Coming up on this episode, we'll take you around the league. We go three in the key, the top three storylines this week in the NBA as we look ahead towards the postseason and how tight the race is for those final eight spots in each conference are. Plus, we'll have a one-on-one conversation with super sub Nemanja Bjelica stepping into the starting lineup. With Jimmy Butler out, Belly has raised his game. We'll go one-on-one with him coming up in just a few moments. Right now, though, let's take a look back at the last couple of games for Minnesota. And Cal, going into the weekend, the Wolves had dropped a season-high three games. They had gone from third in the Western Conference all the way down to sixth. You watched Portland, New Orleans put together these extended winning streaks. Utah hard-charging from behind. Even Denver and the LA Clippers playing well. And it felt like heading into Sunday's game against Golden State, that was a must-win game for Minnesota. And I know you don't want to put too much on one game, but for sort of where things were at that time and kind of what was happening around Minnesota in that Western Conference playoff picture, that game definitely seemed like a must-win game. And, man, Minnesota came out with a sense of desperation, a sense of urgency, and they were able to close that one out in the fourth quarter and pick up a big, big win.
Yeah, it was impressive, and it was certainly the biggest game of the season to that point. And even before the result, even before we knew that the Timberwolves had won the game, it was still – like you said, a must-win or a gigantic game, because your margin for error becomes all that much smaller if you do lose that one. And it did send the Timberwolves on the road on this mini two-game road trip with a lot of confidence in the way that a lot of different guys played in that win against the Warriors. I mean, Andrew Wiggins was getting to the basket, looking really aggressive with the basketball. Nemanja Bjelica continues to do great things with his additional minutes since Jimmy Butler went down. And I just like the way that this entire team, you know, we've heard so much since the Jimmy injury and guys, different guys talking about it's not just one guy, it's not just Cat, it's not just Wig, and everyone has really adopted that sort of mindset that everyone's just doing a little bit more. I mean, everyone's playing slightly outside of themselves, but no one's forcing it, no one's trying to put it all on their plate. And it's made for some fun basketball to watch, even just the results aside.
I like the way you phrase that, slightly outside of themselves, not overstepping their bounds or getting outside their lane. I think that's a tremendous way of putting it, because like we've talked about, everybody just needs to do a little bit more, not a lot more. Don't change who you are. Don't change your game. Just give a little bit more. And the Wolves have been able to do that in that game. Six in double figures. Karl-Anthony Towns leading the way. 31 points, 16 rebounds, 14 of those points coming in the fourth quarter, including four in the final minute as Minnesota closed that game out. Andrew Wiggins, you brought him up, 23 points, 2 of 4 from deep, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, team high plus 21. Belly, 10 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists. I thought Taj Gibson, though, was the unsung hero in that game. You know, the other guys kind of got the spotlight, but Taj had 11 points, 13 rebounds. He was a plus 15, and his defense, intensity, and energy, I thought, really set the tone. And, you know, it's kind of funny. This is like Taj time. You know, you see him over the last couple of weeks as the playoff picture ramps up a little bit and the intensity ramps up. You can almost, when you see Taj walking around before games, there's like an electricity coming off him. And when you hear him talk after the games or after shoot around, he loves this time of year. And as, you know, these games mean more, as these games get a little bit more physical, I mean, this is Taj time, and he was huge on Sunday.
He gets that big smile on his face when you start to ask him about the playoffs and even right now this sort of chase for a postseason spot. And I think he was just made to play those meaningful games. And like he said, you almost come to hate your opponent. Like when you're between those lines and on that floor, that's almost really, it has to be your mindset. And getting to hear him in that post-game interview with Alan Horton after that win over the Warriors, and he was just gassed, and he basically said something to the effect of, "We poured it all out there tonight." That is all you need to hear to learn how big that game was for that team and how badly they knew that they needed it.
It was fun game to watch in front of a sellout crowd here at Target Center, the 13th sellout of the season, the most since the 03-04 season. And now, getting a win like that really doesn't mean much if you can't carry it over. And the Wolves are trying to do that as they kicked off a two-game road trip in Washington on Tuesday night. Minnesota found themselves down by 10 in the fourth quarter, but rallied to win, put together a huge 14-0 run, part of a larger 17-1 burst that allowed Minnesota to take control, hang on down the stretch after the game. Here's guard Jamal Crawford.
Yeah, every game is big. It doesn't make sense to win a game like Sunday then come in here tonight and lose. You know, so I think every game has more importance, and we have to continue to build, continue to keep going.
Crawford was big off the bench for Minnesota with 11, and he was part of that unit, Cal, that really helped change the tide. And I want to go back to the third quarter and something that Alan Horton, our radio play-by-play voice, said during that frame, that, you know, it felt like in that third quarter, both these teams were waiting for the fourth. That third quarter just seemed to kind of drag. There were, you know, kind of punches being thrown, but like exhausted punches, you know, when you think of a boxer, and just waiting for the bell to ding, go to your corners, catch your breath, come out in the fourth. And, you know, it had that feel. And then once we got to the fourth, it was Washington who jumped on Minnesota, you know, with a quick flurry. They got up by 10, and you thought, uh-oh, you know, we've seen this before. The Wolves have struggled on the road since 2018 came around. They were just 2-13 up to last night's game. You fall behind by double digits, and for whatever reason, the Wolves have struggled mightily on the road against Eastern Conference teams. You thought, uh-oh, here we go. And then Nemanja Bjelica got cooking. Belly got going with 13 of his 17 in that fourth quarter. Karl-Anthony Towns was big. Crawford, who I mentioned, was big. Tyus Jones, Andrew Wiggins. And it was fun looking at the plus-minus in the fourth quarter for those guys. Belly, Crawford, and Kat, all plus 13. Wiggins, a plus 12, and Tyus off the bench was a plus 11. So that group, for whatever reason, came together and allowed Minnesota to go on that run. And one thing that really stood out to me about what that group was doing was ball movement. You know, overall, Minnesota, 23 assists on 46 made field goals. That's not a high number, but man, in that fourth quarter, those guys were whipping the ball all over, and I think that resulted in getting more open looks, easier looks. And, you know, when Belly gets an open look, I mean, good night, knock it down.
He's red hot, and it was beautiful to watch, just the unselfishness of all those guys in that unit. You made the boxing analogy. You could also equate it to a horse race, where that early start to the fourth quarter of the Wizards is a jockey maybe giving their horse the go, the green light, a little bit too soon, and the Wolves knowing that they had that burst. Now, you don't want to make a habit out of that, trying to erase a 10-point deficit in fourth quarters, but it was fun to watch, and it was something where, you know, whether it's Belly, whether it's Tyus, I mean, Tyus looked great running that unit there that keyed mm-hmm. that comeback, and like you said, the ball movement. Even Kat, I think Tom Thibodeau mentioned in the postgame that Kat did a great job of bouncing back from earlier in the game when he was kind of feeling it out and the game was a little bit choppy, and Kat rebounded, obviously, to have a great, efficient night scoring the basketball. So all those guys seem to be everyone seems to be in tune with each other, kind of like I said about the Warriors win, and it's fun to watch when they know, you know, on the road, down double digits, in another big game. I mean, you don't want to drop that one with two very tough opponents coming up, either in the desperate Spurs or the Red Hot Rockets. So, very impressive stuff from Minnesota.
Well, the Wolves made it hard on themselves by falling behind by double digits in the fourth quarter. But Karl-Anthony Towns saying after the game, sometimes when the game is hard, that also means the game is fun.
It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. You know, if the challenge wasn't hard, it wouldn't be fun. You know, I've always thought that since I was a young boy. So I love when the challenges are like this, where we have to, we got backs against the wall and we got to come out alive.
All right. So you hear Kat right there, and Cal, that reminds me of Taj Gibson talking. I mean, those two guys were sort of, you know, Taj was brought in to sort of be that on-court veteran mentor alongside Karl-Anthony Towns, and I love to hear that. I mean, when it's challenging, that's when it's fun. When the intensity level is up, that's when it's fun. And so it's great to hear these guys embracing that. And, you know, even going back to what Crawford said, hey, winning on Sunday doesn't mean anything if you don't follow it up and get a win. And so it was interesting to see Minnesota last night, sixth in the standings, capture that victory, jump up to fourth. 5 minutes later, fall back to fifth after Oklahoma City ended up beating Atlanta. And then later in the night, New Orleans picks up a win and Minnesota drops back down to sixth. And so, yeah, they span, you know, this wide range of emotions all within about a 15-20 minute span of, up to fourth, back down to fifth, back down to sixth. And, you know, I think these back-to-back wins were big for Minnesota. And now you're staying on the road. So the Wolves will be in Washington, D.C. today. They'll travel to San Antonio tomorrow, get a practice in on Friday before they face off with the Spurs. And I know we're going to talk more about the Spurs coming up, but the importance of this Spurs game, number one, you want to beat teams that are trying to chase you in the standings. But number two, win that tiebreaker. Wolves have been tremendous this season in winning season series with teams in the Western Conference. They've got it against Oklahoma City. They've got it against New Orleans. They've got it against the LA Clippers, in the position to get it against Utah and against Denver. And this is a big opportunity to get it against San Antonio. And that makes this even more of a great opportunity for Minnesota Saturday in San Antonio.
Yeah, and Tom Thibodeau said it, I think, as recently as just this last week, where you don't know what game or what play is going to be sort of the decisive play maybe of your entire season. He said to win a game, that play could come in the second quarter, it could come early in the third, it could be a jump ball, it could be a block, and it's kind of the same way in winning some of these tiebreakers. The Wolves saw the Thunder early on in the season, and often in early in the season, and they still were able to lock in and win those games, get enough wins to win that season series. And now those are coming in handy, and like you said, you want to continue to pile up those tiebreakers, because in a crazy year like this, where you said just in a span of 15 minutes you can jump up to four, and then after a couple more results come in, go back down to six, it's going to be huge. And I think the other thing is, you know, as a lot of these guys on this roster that have been here longer than some of the guys that came in the summer, it's just fun to go to some of these places where they haven't had success. And San Antonio is one of those places. Yeah. You think of OKC and Andrew Wiggins getting that game winner earlier in the year, and you can probably count on one hand the wins that the Wolves have had down in San Antonio in recent years. And I think it would be just a huge sort of mindset deal for these guys to go down there, get a victory, walk out of there feeling really good about these last three, and sort of continuing this progression. The other thing real quick about Karl Anthony Towns, the couple clutch shots that he hit in those last two wins, and I think those are something. He's not a guy who needs confidence. He's very confident in himself, and he's always said that team wins are most important. But, boy, talk about some signature shots for earlier in your career. I mean, you think about, this is his first playoff chase since becoming an NBA player, and it's only going to give him more belief in himself that, you know, he can hit that difficult fadeaway against an elite-caliber opponent. Or Alan Horton mentioned in the broadcast last night that he's a much better catch-and-shoot three-point shooter, but he had to put the pump fake on and dribble and reset himself for that corner three. So very good stuff from Cat as well.
And I think those plays by Cat also give the rest of this team confidence that, hey, when they do get Jimmy Butler back and you're in a situation where it's a clutch time game, the ball's in Butler's hands, he's getting doubled, hey, you know, Cat's got a lot of confidence right now. Cat's been kind of your go-to guy in these last couple and has been able to hit some big clutch shots for Minnesota that just makes the Wolves even harder to guard in those clutch situations. Awesome time in Timberwolves basketball right now. It is fun following this playoff chase day in and day out. Coming up, we'll talk more about the playoff picture as we go three in the key, the top three storylines this week in the NBA. But with Jimmy Butler out with that knee injury, Nemanja Bjelica stepped into the starting lineup and stepped up. We'll go one-on-one with him next right here on the Timberwolves Radio Network.
Get ready for liftoff, Wolves fans, because we're about to go head-to-head with the Houston Rockets for the last time in the regular season on March 18th, right here at Target Center. Be there to see Andrew Wiggins, Karl-Anthony Towns, and the Pack soar and protect the hardwood of the North against James Harden, Chris Paul, and the Ballers from H-Town. Visit Timberwolves.com to get your tickets now. Minnesota Timberwolves, all eyes North. The Timberwolves are presented by U.S. Bank.
Welcome back, WolvesCast Audio On Demand. I'm John Fokey. Coming up, Cal Soderquist returns as we go three in the key and take a look at the top three storylines this week in the NBA. But first, wanted to shine the spotlight on Timberwolves forward Nemanja Bjelica, who stepped into the starting lineup since Jimmy Butler went down with that knee injury. During this span, we've seen Belly set career highs in points with 30 against Boston, made three-pointers as he knocked down six against the Celtics, and minutes as he played 45 in the Wolves' loss at Utah. And thanks to Belly's efforts, Minnesota's still in the mix for one of those playoff spots in the Western Conference. I recently sat down with the third-year forward.
As you spent your summer here rehabbing, were there other parts of your game that you were working on?
Yeah, I mean, I was doing some things on my body, some conditioning, except like running with my strength coaches. And I did a good job, so I'm just now with a team looking for a training camp and to prepare myself for the season, because we have like less than 1 month, so we have plenty of time to prepare ourselves.
What was your reaction during the offseason when you saw Jimmy Butler come over, Jeff Teague come over, Taj Gibson, Jamal Crawford, and suddenly you guys weren't the young Minnesota Timberwolves, but you're sort of like the veteran Minnesota Timberwolves?
Yeah, I mean, everybody are excited, like when they saw after draft that Jimmy is coming here. We have a great group of first of all people and then players who spend a lot of time in this league. They have played like big games, so we are now a very experienced team, and also we are still young. So I think everybody excited in the city, and finally we have chance to make playoffs, and we will do our best.
Back home in Serbia, away from the basketball court, how do you spend your time?
Since I'm like married father, so I like to spend time with my family, with my daughter. So I'm like very bored guy, you know. I'm simple guy, and I try to relax and not much.
With your family, are you trying to start any traditions, anything around the holidays, any birthday type traditions, things like that? Since you do have your own family.
Yeah, but now I mean, season here is too long, so, and then when I'm done with the season, I have my national team, so I'm pretty busy during the year, but of course we can celebrate birthday, we have New Year, whatever, like our traditional, like, Orthodox religion things, so we always have time for that. I mean, family is most important.
How important is it for you to be part of that national team program?
Oh, it's totally different level. Like, I missed my national team like for two straight years, and like I said, I was hurt, and I mean, this is only part of my job, but it's something what makes me feel like proud to represent my country around the world. So I'm very happy to be part of my national team.
You got a little smile on your face just thinking about it. Is it fun to be around those teammates?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we're like family. Same like I feel here. But you know, this is my job. But you know, national team is something different, because our like culture is different, because I started to play with national team when I was like 19, 20. So it's pretty long.
You hit some big shots for that national team too.
Yeah.
What was that like, hitting those shots and then and feeling that pride for what you're doing and the feeling of your teammates? Right?
I mean, it's hard to say, because like it's only like moment, like tiny moment, small. But you know, I was like proud, and I mean, this is what I do, like what I'm working, what I. Preparing myself for, so sometimes the ball goes in, sometimes not. It's part of the game.
If you could tell your rookie self from 3 years ago one thing, what would it be?
Well, it's a hard question. Maybe I should come here like when I was younger. Yeah.
Well, why?
Because for me, like first year was hard to adjust. You know, I think that players who are younger, they can adjust like faster, but because I changed almost everything what I did so far, I mean, so far in Europe, so now I adjust and I'm happy to be here. I mean, this is the best league and I like to compete every day with the best players, so I'm very happy.
Do you have a much more of a comfort level now?
Yeah, of course, finally. I know everything about the league, about the referees, about players, about the fans, so, you know, there is a time like you have at least 1 year to adjust on everything. So it's my third year and I'm happy. And
very good. Thanks, Belly.
Big thanks to Belly for joining the show today, coming off a big win last night in D.C. as he scored 13 of his 17 points in the fourth quarter and keyed a game-deciding 14-0 run as Minnesota rallied from down 10 in that final frame to beat the Wizards 116-111. Keep it right here. Cal Soderquist is back after the break. We go three in the key, taking a look at the top three storylines this week in the NBA. Right here on the Timberwolves Radio Network.
Suit up like the Pack in the newly renovated team store located on the Skyway level of Target Center. Shop the newest in Timberwolves apparel, including jerseys, on-court gear, hats, and more. Visit TimberwolvesTeamStore.com or stop by the team store at Target Center today. Minnesota Timberwolves, all eyes north.
Wolvescast Audio on Demand continues. Time right now to go three in the key. We welcome back Cal Soderquist. I'm John Folkey, and we'll start right now, Cal. We kind of teased it in our first segment just about how tough the Western Conference is. So let's start right there. I mean, the East is pretty tough, too. We'll get to that in a moment. But topic number one here, three in the key, in the West, who's in, who's out? And I want to go right now. I mean, we can tell you who's in. The Houston Rockets, Golden State Warriors are in. I think it's a lock that Portland will end up in. They're third in the standings right now. But here's where things get interesting, and really starting with Portland, 4.5 games separate the number three spot from the number 10 spot. So let's just say Portland is in that three spot. You've got Oklahoma City, New Orleans, Minnesota, the Clippers, the Jazz, the Spurs, and the Nuggets, and San Antonio and Utah, both at 38-30 on the season. Denver at 37-31, a game back of that final playoff spot. So of the 4 through 10, who's in, who's out in your mind?
Wow, it's strange to see the Spurs on the outside of the playoff picture at this point of the season. I still am not ready to count them out yet. I think whether or not Kawhi Leonard's back in the next few games, I just think that there still is enough continuity there that they're going to jump in. I wonder if the Clippers have enough gas, and they're in a decent spot now, but you know something could change later tonight or tomorrow, depending on the games being played. I would say the Clippers and the Nuggets. I think that those two teams at least stick out as maybe incomplete teams. They both played well. I think the Jazz are red hot right now, and you can't see them slowing down anytime soon. The biggest thing of all this for me is just the urgency. Like I think I've mentioned even on this podcast that it's like playoff basketball already on a given night. You can look at some of these matchups, and sure, these teams here in the Western Conference might be playing teams that don't have as much on the line, but you're still seeing one team play with that urgency, and it's been a ton of fun. It's kind of like you mentioned it recently. We're going to get like a 45-win team that misses the playoffs. It's like the NCAA Tournament Selection Sunday. You've got a deserving team that's left out of the picture, and everyone's going to be upset, but that's just the status of the Western Conference this year.
All right, so you think the LA Clippers, Denver Nuggets end up on the outside looking in. What's really remarkable is you look at the standings, they've got, you know, records in the last 10. 9-1 for the Rockets, 7-3 for Golden State, 10-0 for Portland, 7-3 for OKC, 8-2 for New Orleans, 5-5 for Minnesota, 7-3 for the Clippers, 8-2 for the Jazz, 3-7 for San Antonio, and 5-5 for Denver. So that shows you how hot these teams are right now. And I think if you expand that out, I mean, the Rockets had a 17-game winning streak. The Blazers on that 10-0 winning streak. Pelicans had a 10-0 winning streak as well. And the Utah Jazz have won, I believe, 18 of 20 or 19 of 21 at this point. I mean, they have been incredibly hot right now. So when I look at these standings, the LA Clippers are playing good basketball right now, and maybe it's enough to get them into that playoff picture. San Antonio has struggled, although the Spurs did take care of business last night against the Orlando Magic, as they should, and that's been a hallmark of San Antonio over the course of their career. But here's who San Antonio has left. They've got Minnesota on Saturday, at Golden State, home to Washington, home to Utah, at Milwaukee, at Washington, home to OKC, home to Houston, at the LA Clippers, then the Lakers, Blazers, and then they finish it with Sacramento and New Orleans. That is a gauntlet. And, you know, whether or not Kawhi Leonard gets back, you just look at, you know, the 3-7 mark over the last 10 for San Antonio. This slide is coming at a bad time for the Spurs, and I just wonder if they don't have enough. I mean, these guys gave so much through the first 60 games or whatever it was to be in the top four for that long of a time without Leonard, with Parker in and out of the lineup, with, you know, Gasol and Aldridge being nicked up, and, you know, Manu Ginobili getting nights off. And so I just wonder if San Antonio has enough. Like you're talking about the Clippers, I don't know if San Antonio has enough to finish off this season, because they've got to jump some teams. And like you said, I don't see Utah slowing down. I think Denver will continue to fade, but I'm going to say San Antonio and Denver are on the outside looking in, and the LA Clippers and the Utah Jazz will nab those final two spots here in the West. But, you know, all of that could change in the span of about 3 days. So
I'm just pulling up the schedule real quick for the Nuggets. They're home Thursday to the Pistons, and then a seven-game road trip. and that'll start in Memphis, so say what you want about that. But then you got to go to D.C., Philly, Toronto, OKC to close out the month of March. So, yeah, it's going to be tough for the Nuggets as well. Yeah,
absolutely. So real quick as we wrap up, topic number one, more impressive run. Blazers 10 straight wins, Houston having won, I believe, 19 out of their last 20, and Utah, who I believe is up to 19 out of 21. So of those three teams, which has the most impressive run right now?
I got to say Utah. I think I mentioned urgency earlier and how everyone's playing with it. I think the Jazz, more than anyone else, had their backs against the wall and really had no room for error when you consider where they were this time a month ago in relation to the Western Conference playoff picture. And that's what's been most impressive, that they've had to play playoff basketball since this run started, it seems like. And you've gotten great performances from the rookie Donovan Mitchell. Ricky Rubio has really stepped up, and
Rudy Gobert has been playing out of his mind on both sides of the floor.
He was a huge reason why, and now the Wolves are missing Cat in that game in Utah a couple weeks ago, but he was huge in that one. And it's been fun to watch the Jazz play with that urgency really since the All-Star break, essentially, even before that, actually. So that's where I'll go with Utah.
I'm going to say the Portland Trailblazers, just because if you look at who some of these wins were over. During this 10-game winning streak, they've beaten the Warriors twice. They beat the Wolves. They beat the Thunder. And they beat the Miami Heat, who, you know, at different times have put together good runs throughout the course of this season, a Miami playoff team in the Western Conference. And it's the way they've won, the way Damian Lillard has stepped his game up even more and playing with so much confidence. And then, you know, as Lillard has stepped his game up, he has been able to really raise the level of play of that entire team. And so that, to me, is the most impressive, because you rely so much on Lillard and McCollum, and yet they still beat you, and they've beaten good teams during this stretch. Move our attention now to the Eastern Conference as we hit topic number two. In the East, who's in and who's out in terms of that playoff picture? It's not as tight as it is in the Western Conference, but it's still pretty jumbled.
Yeah, I think, when you look at it, it's Detroit really has now no room for error, and they've kind of free fallen, I guess you could say, and you could sense the desperation at the time of the Blake Griffin acquisition, and I think now, for whatever reason, it just hasn't gelled like we thought it would. I think they won three straight when they first got him, or maybe four straight. But
and now they're just 2-8 in their last 10. And you know what might be a better kind of way to phrase that in terms of who's in and who's out? Where do they line up? You know, so you've got basically Toronto is in, Boston is in. They've already punched their ticket. But Indiana, don't look now, maybe the best story in the Eastern Conference and nobody's talking about. They're up to third. They're a half game clear of Cleveland, who's in fourth. Then you've got Washington awaiting the return of John Wall, who went through practice earlier this week, a non-contact practice, but he's inching closer to returning. Philadelphia is in sixth. Milwaukee seventh. And so from third Indiana down to Miami, you've got four games separating the 3 through 8 spots. So as we continue in the final month of the season, does Indiana end up in that 3 spot? Can Cleveland jump them? Kind of how do you see the matchups shaking out or the standings?
Well, I think the most interesting aspect of all that is Cleveland right now in the 4 spot, but only a game and a half clear of the Wizards. And as Cleveland kind of continues to be inconsistent and continue to work out those kinks with the new players they've acquired, if you all of a sudden drop out of the top 4 and don't even have home court advantage for a first-round series, I mean, LeBron James, for all his accolades, one of the more impressive things is the continuous trips to the NBA Finals. You can just pencil him in every year. And this would, without question, be his most difficult challenge to try to get this team back there again this year. Not even considering necessarily the new teams at the top of the East, whether it's Toronto or Boston. I think both of those teams have question marks or imperfections at this stage. But there's plenty of those in Cleveland, and also just the new challenge of not even being one of those top two seeds. LeBron has always said, you know, health is more important than having that overall number one seed in the East, and that's true, but
it's been a long time since he's had to make his way as a five seed or something like that.
And what a story that would be if all of a sudden LeBron is facing elimination in the first round or even the second round of a series.
I think that's an interesting story, but the one that really kind of resonates with me is the Indiana Pacers, and a team that has played above expectations all season long. When they traded away Paul George, you thought, great, here goes rebuilding for the Indiana Pacers. You know, they've got some nice little role players, no superstars, blah, blah, blah. And Victor Oladipo has played like an absolute superstar. Domantas Sabonis has stepped up and played really, really well in his new role. Miles Turner has been good for you. I mean, they've gotten great contributions up and down the lineup. They've played a fun brand of basketball, different, I think, from what we've seen in the past and expect to see out of the Indiana Pacers. And the way they have surged, remember when Oladipo went down with a knee injury, Wolves faced him, it was right around the new year, I think it was maybe December 31st, and Minnesota just blew him right out of the water, and it was like the third or fourth straight loss in a row for Indiana, and it felt like we could write him off. And then Depot came back and they really took off since then, and so they have been, I think, one of, if not the best stories in the Eastern Conference. And then the Toronto Raptors, as far as can they nab that number one spot? And I know we've talked about it before in terms of do you believe in the Raptors? And we have to say wait till the postseason. But I think two things are different this time around for Toronto. Number one, and we've already discussed it, but the change in their offensive philosophy, sharing the ball, shooting more threes, their depth in terms of what they get off their bench and the balance that they have. So that's all different than what we've seen in the past. But the biggest difference is the landscape of the Eastern Conference. Cleveland's not invincible. Boston's, you know, despite punching their ticket to the postseason, they're scuffling, dealing with injuries. They're not the same team that they were in the first month and a half of the season when they got off to that, you know, incredible start. And really, once you get into Washington, Philly, Milwaukee, and Miami, yeah, teams that scare you, but do they really scare you over the course of a seven-game series? Maybe Washington, because they come in with a little bit more experience than Philly, Milwaukee, or Miami in terms of playoff picture. So I think the East is ripe for the picking for the Toronto Raptors this year, maybe more so than in years past where they've had 50-win seasons.
I would agree, and you mentioned the experience. I think they also, Toronto, what they have that a lot of these maybe the next-level challengers don't have is continuity. I think, Boston, they've had all those guys for the entire season, but there's still a lot of young players who are growing into themselves, and Cleveland definitely doesn't have continuity at this stage. Washington, it's sort of like working a new player back into the mix once you get John Wall returning to the lineup. So, yeah, I think Toronto, that'll be fun to watch just in terms of they've made it this far, and if they seal up this one seed, that's an accomplishment in itself. But there's still going to be some question marks surrounding whether or not they can get over that sort of postseason hump that's dogged them for the last few.
All right, well, we'll wrap things up here in our final three in the key segment. Steph Curry, they expect him to be out for an even longer extended amount of time with that ankle injury. Wolves just saw the Warriors on Sunday. Golden State, two games back of the Houston Rockets. Without Steph, do they have enough to catch Houston for that top spot in the West? At this point, do they even care?
Yeah, I think the question is valid. I don't know if that's a goal for that team at this point when you consider getting Steph healthy is the priority. I wonder if they'll maybe rest a few other guys sparsely, or you sprinkle in different days off for guys like KD, guys like Draymond, and even Klay. And Andre Iguodala is a guy, too, who they've wanted to sort of get back up to speed. He sort of famously saves stuff early in the season so he can be at full strength. And Houston, we've talked about it on this show, they've got more depth, I think, especially this season, that it could be enough where even if they also feel comfortable in one of those top two seeds and want to sort of get guys ready and good to go and at full strength, they'd still probably have enough to hang on to that one spot. So I don't think Golden State gets there. And I also don't think if you snuck inside their locker room through some other back hallway that it's not up on their board in terms of number one goals right now.
Yeah, well, they've got a 10-game lead over the Portland Trailblazers, number two to number three. So even if they do drop a couple, they're still going to end up one of those top two spots. And I'm with you. I don't think Steve Kerr goes into that locker room and says, we got to go out there. We got to get this spot. That just doesn't seem like at this point it's worth the energy as much as it is being energized going into the postseason. So a lot of stuff to keep an eye on. It's been a lot of fun watching this playoff race shake out, especially in the Western Conference with Minnesota right in the mix, and we'll continue to keep you updated and talk about it throughout the course of the next month of the regular season. That'll do it for this episode of Wolvescast Audio On Demand. Don't forget, check us out on your Amazon Alexa unit or your Echo unit, your Dot unit. Just say, hey, Alexa, play podcast Wolvescast, and it'll get it to you right there on demand. We're also on Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and, of course, Timberwolves.com. For Cal Soderquist, I'm John Folkey saying so long. We'll talk to you again next week right here on the Timberwolves Radio Network.